In my lesson today, I'm going to leave chapter 1 and go into chapter 2. But before I leave chapter 1, I want to read from two verses in chapter 1, and then we're going into chapter 2. In chapter 1, Jesus told John, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." We know that John saw the great vision of the living Lord in all of his splendor. And after John had seen that, Jesus told him, "Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." John was to write down everything that he saw. This included the description of the vision that he had of Christ. Jesus wanted everyone in every congregation that claimed to be his children, he wanted them to see his glory, to see what John saw, to see him in all of his glory, like they have never seen him before. Because Jesus knew that if they got a picture of him as John saw him, they would never forget him. They would be thrilled, amazed, and they would marvel. That's what God wants. God wants us to marvel at his Son. God wants us to be amazed and marvel when we think of him. And Jesus knew that the other churches needed this same vision, that they too may marvel and be astonished. And Jesus told him, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, says he, that holds the seven stars in his right hand, and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works. To the angel of the church at Smyrna, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know your works. To the angel of the church in Pergamos, write these things, says he, who has the sharp sword with two edges. I know your works. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things, says the Son of God, who has eyes like unto the flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know your works. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, says he, who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, who opens and no man closes, who closes and no man opens. I know your works. To the angel of the Laodiceans, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. Did you notice that to each of the churches, Jesus said, I know your works. God wanted these congregations to see the vision that John saw. Without a vision, the people perish. Vision is essential for the life of a congregation and even for the life of a nation. Without a vision, we have no sense of purpose, no meaning or direction. Yet, with a grand, exalted vision of Jesus Christ, everything we do suddenly takes on eternal meaning and purpose. What does a vision do for a church or a pastor? A vision takes hold of the heart of a church with fingers like steel and refuses to let go. A vision ignites the purpose of a church with a white-hot sense of urgency. Without a vision, what are people accomplishing in the church? They're just going through the motion. The Sunday school teacher is just telling Bible stories. The man in the soup kitchen is just dipping out soup for the hungry. The deacon, he is only a board member, but with a vision. Everything a church does has significance. The person in the parking lot will tell you, I help make the church an inviting place where people come to hear the gospel and have their lives transformed. He will tell you, I am directing traffic for the kingdom of God. The Sunday school teacher will tell you, I'm helping children build a relationship with the Lord and to be fashioned into His image. The music director will tell you, I help direct people's hearts to the everlasting Lord. The guy in the soup kitchen will tell you, I work in an outreach ministry that is bringing people into the kingdom of God while transforming our society one life at a time. You see the difference a vision makes? Where there is no vision, the people perish. They may not die physically, but they become a part of the walking dead, Christian zombies who have no sense of purpose or meaning in their activities in the church. I read the story of the Taj Mahal, built by one of the emperors in India. His favorite wife had died. Devastated, he resolved to honor her by constructing a temple that would serve as her tomb. Her coffin was placed in the center of a large parcel of land, and construction of the temple began around it. No expense would be spared to make her resting place magnificent, but as the weeks turned into months, the emperor's grief was eclipsed by his passion for the project. He no longer lamented her absence. The construction of the temple consumed him. One day, while walking from one side of the construction site to the other, his leg bumped into a wooden box. He ordered one of the workers to throw the box out. What he didn't know was that he ordered the disposal of the coffin, now forgotten, hidden beneath layers of dust and time. The one that the temple was intended to honor was forgotten, but the temple was erected anyway. That may sound difficult to believe. Could someone build a temple and forget why? Could someone construct a palace and forget the king? You answer those questions. Answer them in church. The next time you enter an assembly of worship, position yourself where you can see the people. Then you decide. You can tell the ones who remember the crucified one. They are wide-eyed and expectant. They are children watching the unwrapping of a gift. They are servants standing still as a king passes by. You don't doze in the presence of royalty, and you don't yawn while receiving a gift from the king himself. You can also tell the ones who only build the temple. Their eyes wander, their feet shuffle. No matter how hard they try to remain amazed, they can't, because all temples, even the Taj Mahal, loses their luster after a while. These temple gazers, they love the church. They come to church every Sunday, but still something's missing. The one they once planned to honor hasn't been seen in a while. But those who have seen him can't seem to forget him. They find him in spite of the temple rather than because of it. The temple builders and the Jesus seekers, you'll find them both in the same church, on the same pew, at the same time. One sees the structure and says, "What a great church." The other sees Jesus and says, "What a great Savior." What do you see? My, my, what a great Savior we have. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson from the book of Revelation.